morning. It's good to be with you here this morning. It's a privilege to be with you and a privilege to be at camp next week. Melanie and I haven't been to camp for many years now. And we were just saying as we were driving up here, it's the first time we've gone to camp with other kids. So it'll be a nice week. You might wonder why I'm hobbling here. I helped someone move last week and I carried something too heavy, and I hurt my hip. So I thought I was 20 again, but realize I'm 50, and I'm paying for it now. But if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19, I just want to look at a psalm with you here this morning. Just a short little psalm, Psalm 19. We'll start in at verse 1 of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Here in Psalm 19, we see creation and we see the Word of God. How does God speak? As we look at Psalm 19, he speaks through creation, but he also speaks through the Word of God. And we're going to look at maybe one other passage in the book of Hebrews. Richard Dawkins, that famous atheist, he was asked one time, you know, what if it's all true? What if God, there is a God and you stand before him? What would you ask him? And he said this, I'd ask him this, why has he hid himself from us? Why has he hid himself from us? You know, Psalm 19 is a testimony that God has not hid himself from us. He's speaking through creation. And we see this at the beginning of Psalm 19. I love the BBC documentaries. I don't know if you watch them. But as you start to watch them, you see that there's a designer, there's a creator behind all these animals. You can think of the seagull. The seagull swoops down and drinks some water. Now, if we drank ocean water, we would die in a few days. But that seagull can drink water way out in an ocean liner somewhere. He can go down and he can gulp the water because he's got a filtration device that actually filters out the salt. Amazing, isn't it? I remember watching a documentary on elephants, and they were showing in this documentary where the elephants were going. They were looking for water, and it showed the place where they were going to go. They were days from getting there, and it was just barren dry. But about half a day before they got there, the monsoons came, and that whole area was just filled with water. Who put that in the minds of those elephants? It's God, isn't it? But here in Psalm 19, it's not an elephant. It's not a seagull. It's not the animal kingdom. It's the heavens. Because not everyone has seen an elephant and not everyone has seen a seagull. But everyone can look up into the heavens. And it says here, the heavens declare the glory of God. Everyone sees the same stars, the same sun, a sunset, a sunrise, a lightning storm. God is proclaiming his glory to this world every day. Notice what it says here, the heavens declare. It means to tally up. We can see God's glory everywhere as we look up into the heavens. And it says the firmament showeth. That word showeth is to boldly proclaim. God is boldly proclaiming his glory to this world every day. That those assets that are favorable is the glory of God. He's showing his attributes, his beauty, his power, his wisdom every day. Think of his power as we look into the heavens at night and we see the stars. Think of the billions and billions of stars out there. They thought that they could count the stars. And as they got more and more powerful telescopes, they realized we can't count the stars. Well, maybe we'll try to count the galaxies. And there's a billion stars in every galaxy. And they realize we can't even count the galaxies. And to think that the stars are just like the sand of the sea, those little grains of sand, and those little grains of sand are all together. But to think of the stars, they're light years apart. And think of the immensity of our universe. And it's showing to us the power of our Creator. You know, in Romans chapter 1, it says that if you turn to Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God showing his power. He's showing his beauty. Think of a sunrise or a sunset. My daughter would go down in the summer, and I'd go down with her once in a while to a place called Renforth. And there we would see, we'd sit there and watch the sun go down. It would kind of cascade over the mountains and then over the water, and this beautiful array of just orange across the water. And you just sit there and, wow, this is our Creator. Look at his beauty. He's showing it to us right now. And every day, God is proclaiming his glory to this world. Notice what it says here in verse 2, day into day, and night into night. It's unceasing. It's every day and every night. God is proclaiming his glory. It's like the water going over Niagara Falls. It's relentless. Pushing its way over those falls. It's like God every day and every night is proclaiming his glory to this world. It's unceasing. But it also says here it's understandable. Look at verse 3. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Nothing's being lost in translation here. God is speaking, it's inaudible. But he's speaking loudly to this world. I remember when we were in Ireland, when we first got to Ireland, we were missionaries in Ireland 20 years ago, and we had problems with our car, and so I took it to a mechanic, and he said, well, just give me a call in a few hours. And so I went home, and a few hours went by. I thought, okay, I'll give him a call. So I get on the phone, and I start to call him, and he answers the phone, and he said, well, you're supposed to come out here. I told you to call in a few hours. And I realized, oh, to call is actually to come out. Now, if you're to ring someone, then that means you call them on the phone. So I realized, okay, there's a little bit of miscommunication here. But here, there's no miscommunication. God is speaking loudly to this world every day. But it's also, it says here in verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth. It's universal. And the word line is like a musical instrument strumming on a guitar. God's music is being proclaimed universally to this whole world. Whether you're in Russia, whether you're in China, whether you're in Africa, every day and every night, God is proclaiming his glory. And then he goes into an illustration here of the sun. And he said, the sun is like this. It's like a strong man ready to run the race. It's like a bridegroom just ready for the day. Every day the sun is coming up wanting to proclaim the glories of its creator. It's like a man getting ready for the Olympics. He's spending four years just training and so on. And then all of a sudden he's ready for the big day, the big race. Or like a bridegroom, just ready for the big day. Melanie and I moved from Ontario to New Brunswick. And Melanie and I were engaged, in December. Or we started to go out in November. We were engaged in December, and then we were married in March. So those three months seemed like forever. But when we got to the big day, I was ready. The bridegroom was ready. And probably many in this room have experienced that. But here at the sun wants to proclaim the glory of its creator every day. But you know what man does? Instead of glorying in the creator behind the creation, they glory in the creation. That's exactly what Romans chapter 1 says. If you turn back to Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says he changes the truth of God into a lie. And worships and serves the creature more than the creator. The BBC documentary, there's a man called Sir John Attenberg. And he's the voice of the BBC documentary. And he gave this little blurb about what he does for a living. And he said, I wish that everyone could do what I'm doing. The things that I see amongst the animal kingdom is just fascinating. And so he started to go into all these things about the animal kingdom and so on. And at the end of it, he said, it's great what Mother Nature has given us. And later on, I found out he's an atheist. He doesn't even believe there's a God. And what he's doing is he's glorying in the creature and not in the creator. You see, all creation is driving us to show us the glory of the creator behind it all. We were in Florida this year, and we went to the Kennedy Space Center, and we watched a video, and it was about all the stars and so on, the constellations, and in the documentary, one of the men, very intellectual men, he was glorying in the stars and so on. And he said at the end of it, he said, you know, we're just really, as human beings, we're just recycled matter from the Big Bang theory. The Big Bang. And I was just thinking, wow, he's glorying in the creation, but he's not glorying in the creator behind it all. You see, all creation is driving us to one point, that we might glory in the creator, that we might enter in or accept that light, that there is a creator, and then God will give us further light, and the light of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everyone is without excuse, because God every day and every night is proclaiming this glory to the whole world. And so in the deepest, darkest part of Africa, if man responds to creation, God will give them further light. He'll give them the light of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember reading a book about a missionary in Africa going into tribes that had never seen a white man before. And they'd go into these tribes, and he said it was amazing what these tribes knew just from creation. Some of them would talk about a God and God's Son, and it was just from the revelation of creation. And so they would go in with a gospel and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of these individuals would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so creation is driving us to the glory of a creator and ultimately to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it changes here. In verse 7, it changes from creation, God speaking through creation, to God speaking through his word. And there's six titles, six descriptions, and then there is six outcomes of the word of God. And it says here in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the whole goal of the word of God is that we might come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our personal Savior. It's a young lady that we knew in Ireland, and she was partying all night. It was a Friday night, carousing and so on, and her parents were believers. But she turned her back on that and was right into the world. And one Friday night, she came over this ridge, over this little hill, and all of a sudden, she sees this verse. I don't know if it was John 3:16 or what it was. And here she was, all kind of drunk and so on, but she couldn't get that verse out of her mind. And so she woke up Saturday morning, that verse was in her mind. All day Saturday, that verse was in her mind. All Saturday night, that verse was in her mind. She told her parents Sunday morning, I want to come out to church. And so she shows up at the assembly, and people are kind of in shock that she showed up. That night, she got saved. She trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. The power of the Word of God. It's like a seed that enters in. And as that seed enters in, it can bear fruit to his glory. And the whole goal of the Word of God is that we might be converted. I'll tell you another story about the power of the Word of God. A friend of mine I met at the university, Midday is his name. Almedi is his first name, but he goes by Midday. And at the university, I'll just tell you his testimony or his background. He grew up in a home where his father was a prominent doctor in Morocco. His mom was a teacher at the university. And so he grew up in this very posh family. His dad wanted him to watch videos about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. They're in a Muslim nation. And so he started to watch these videos. And one, I think, was The Passion of Christ. But in those videos, the Word of God is quoted. And so he ended up moving to Belgium, staying with his grandmother to take grade 12. He got himself in trouble. His grandmother ended up kicking him out in the streets, and here he was 6 months in the streets of Belgium. And there's a security guard that allowed him to stay in an abandoned car in Belgium, in a parking lot. And in that abandoned car, those words from the cross, from that video that he watched, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, came to his mind. And he couldn't stop thinking about that. He thought, wow, there's forgiveness with Jesus Christ, but there's no forgiveness in Islam. And there he got saved in that abandoned car. He didn't understand what he had entered into. Eventually, he ended up coming to Canada. He heard about being born again and so on. He realized, that's what happened to me in that abandoned car in Belgium. Think of the power of the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And then it says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I couldn't help but think of a man named John Griffin. In Ireland, some people might know who I'm talking about. He was the only one saved in this little town in the middle of nowhere in Newcastle, West Ireland. And so how he got saved was he asked the local religious leader there, you know, can you know for sure you're going to heaven? And the man said, well, you can't know. That's something you just can't know for sure. And so that troubled him. And so he thought, well, he was in such despair. If I can't know that I'm going to heaven, then I'm just going to end my life. And he was actually going to end his life. And there was young people that came through his little town with little gospel tracts telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. They put one through his door. He picked that up. He started to read it. And he started to realize, I can be sure of heaven. Because it's not based on me. It's based on what Christ has done for me. And he got saved there in his little room in Newcastle, West Ireland. He wanted to tell everyone. And so he went into the town. He was telling everyone, you can be sure of heaven. It's not religion, it's Christ. You need him. And as he started to tell everyone, everyone kind of turned on him. Now, he was a chimney sweep by trade. And so they kind of looked at John and they thought, John has gone crazy. They looked at him as just, they looked at him as just a simple man. And look what it says here. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I would go with John to the University of Limerick. We had a little table set up. And here John would be talking to this professor that had all these PhDs behind his name, had knowledge in this world. But John, as he was talking to him, telling him the simple gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, John had far more knowledge because he had the knowledge of God. And that's exactly what it says here. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He was pouring into that man the truths of God, the knowledge of God, the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it says here, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The word of God is ordered perfectly. 40 writers, over 1,500 years, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, from all different backgrounds, some shepherds, some doctors, from all different walks of life. And they would write this book inspired of God. And one theme runs right through this book from Genesis to Revelation. It's a redemption theme. It's that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He's paid our sin in full with his precious blood. And it starts right from Genesis. The Lamb of God has died, all the way to the book of Revelation. And as you start to study this book, you realize, wow, this book can only be from God. You think of the Gospels. Why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's all looking at the Lord Jesus Christ from a different angle. You got Matthew's Gospel, the King. Mark's Gospel, the servant. John's Gospel, that he is deity. And then Luke's Gospel, that he's humanity. And so this whole book is perfectly ordered from God for us. It's really the manual for life. And it's the manual for the afterlife. But then it also says the Word of God is enduring forever. It's an eternal book. That a billion, billion years from now, this book is still going to be relevant. All the libraries of this world, all the information is going to be obsolete. All that we find on the internet is all going to be obsolete. But this book is forever. And when we start to dive into this book and learn the truths of this book, just think about it. You're learning eternal truths that a billion years from now is still going to be relevant. Aren't we thankful for the Word of God? So God speaks through creation. God speaks through His Word, but I also want to look at one more way that God speaks. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, it says this: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He has spoken through a son. He speaks through creation. It drives us to a son ultimately. He speaks through his word. It drives us to a son. And here, he's speaking through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, you have everything. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, you have absolutely nothing. Do you have him as your personal savior from sin? He said, I was a 12-year-old boy. When I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I realized I was a sinner, and I realized the Lord Jesus Christ is a savior, and I bowed the knee to him as a little boy of 12 years of age, and I'll tell you, it was the best decision I ever made. And here this morning, have you ever made that decision? Have you ever turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever bowed the knee to him, realizing, yes, I'm a sinner, but Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ is my personal savior from sin. You know, here this morning, you can bow the knee. You can bow the knee right in your seat. And you can say, yes, I'm a sinner. But Jesus Christ, you're the Savior. There's a very wealthy man who had an art collection that was sought after. He also had a young boy that was his only son. His young boy had to go off to war. His boy ended up dying on the battlefield, but the day before he died in the battlefield, there was a colleague of his or a fellow soldier that drew a portrait of him. And so he had this portrait of this young man that had died, and he thought, I got to get this to his father. And so he got the portrait to his father, and his father cherished that portrait. Every day, this is my son. This is my son that's died. Well, that older man, he died. And there was an auction for all his artwork. But he said, before you auction off all the artwork, you got to auction off the portrait of my son. And if you auction that first, then go on to other things. And so the auctioneer, he auctioned off the portrait of his son. And as the crowd is there, they're all kind of saying, oh, just kind of move on from that. We want to get into the good stuff. We want to auction for the valuable stuff. So no one was going to buy this portrait. So all of a sudden, this man at the back, young man, he said, can I buy it? I said, yeah, you can. Okay, I'll pay $10 for it. Okay. Is there anyone else? Anyone wants to offer more for this portrait? And there was no one. There was silence. I said, okay, you got the portrait of the Son. And in the will, it said this: if you've got the portrait of the Son, you get everything. You get the whole art collection. And that young man that was there, he wasn't even an art collector, came into all these riches because he paid $10 for the Son. And the illustration is this here this morning. If you've got the Son, you've got everything. But if you don't have the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have absolutely nothing. Will you turn to him this morning? Be saved and safe for all eternity. He is the only answer for this world. It's not religion. It's not your good works. It's a Savior that died for you. Come bankrupt before him and say, yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm so thankful Jesus died for me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you're a God that is a God who communicates. Father, you're not somewhere distant in your universe, working somewhere else. You're intimately interested in every individual in this room, every individual in this world. Father, just thank you that you are a communicating God who loves us. And you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, to give the greatest thing you could ever give, your only beloved Son. There's nothing greater you could give. You'd spare not your Son, but you'd deliver him up for us all. Father, we just thank you that he paid the ultimate price at the cross for us. He shed his precious blood. The Lord Jesus Christ could not give anything greater. He gave his only, or he gave his precious life for us. Father, we can say that Jesus died for me. Father, we thank you he's a risen Savior, he's an exalted Savior. And today he is moving in hearts, wanting men and women and boys and girls to come to him and receive him as their own personal Savior. Father, we just thank you for our wonderful Savior. We thank you for this psalm that speaks of a communicating God that loves us. Father, we just thank you now. Thank you for everyone is here that's here this morning. Bless everyone, we pray, and we give thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.